FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Welcome. You are listening to the Financial Survival Network. I'm Kerry Lutz. It's 7319. Well, oil is back down. Gold was up. Then it was down. Now it's back up a buck and a half an ounce. Bitcoin, well, you make your own decisions. Determinations about Bitcoin. Just don't forget about our contest. If you can guess the price of Bitcoin, what it'll be, midnight, July 20th, you will win 40 U.S. pre-1965 silver quarters. And if you're one of five runner-ups, you will get one pre-1965 quarter. And hey, if we break 1,000 entries, that goes up to 100 for the grand winner and 10 for each runner-up. Email us, kl@kerrylutz.com. Remember, your entry must be received by 11:59 p.m. on July 14th. Well, oil seems to be really volatile lately. What is going on with it? Got our good friend D. Carter, also author of the best-selling book, It's Now or Never. D, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Kerry. I appreciate it. I enjoy being with you and look forward to being with you again.
Yeah. So what's the deal here? Like, what's going on with oil? Couple of days ago, the U.S. officially became the largest producer of oil in the world. Has that got something to do with what's happening?
Yeah, I think it has a lot to do with it, Kerry. It's kind of like the old Bobby V song. It's like a rubber ball that comes bouncing back to you. That's the way the oil industry is. It comes back and forth based on the supply and demand. We had kind of a strange reaction to the OPEC meeting last week or just recently. And in fact, it's the first time that I've seen a reaction like this in the years that I've been involved with the industry. And that, of course, living in West Texas, we have clients that are involved both from the production side, from the ownership of the oil companies and the drilling companies, all the way down to the guys that actually work on the drilling rigs. So we have kind of input from almost every side. But futures dropped a little bit, nearly 5% on the New York Stock Exchange, which is one of the steepest declines they've had since back in May, and the biggest drop after an OPEC gathering since November of 2014. So kind of a strange reaction. But OPEC actually just said, we're just not going to increase. We're going to continue our production at 10 million barrels of oil a day. The problem with that is the consumption of the petroleum products around the world, especially those that are used for gasoline and oil and diesel and that sort of thing, are down because of the global economies. You and I mentioned just before we went on the air that the United States is the only economy in the globe right now that is actually doing well. China is having struggles. We all know about the Iranian and the Venezuelan situation where their oil production is down because of what's going on in those countries and what the government here in the United States has done with the Iranian situation. So it's not too surprising that the price would go down, but it has bounced back just since yesterday. The production of the oil is back up to, and the West Texas crude is back up to around 57 this morning. Brent crude, which is off of the North Shoals in the North Seas, right off of Scotland, between Scotland and Denmark, is back up to $63 a barrel. So we're going to see a bounce back, I think, today. We still have a glut, though. We still have more oil out there in storage tanks than is being consumed. And I think that is because of the global economy. People just aren't consuming the products like they were. People aren't traveling like they were. People are staying home more. They're not burning as much gasoline. And in the summertime, we're not selling a lot of heating oil, obviously, around the world. So everything's kind of, it's based on the consumption. It's just the, boy, it is the consummate situation with the kind of economy that we have around the world.
Mm-hmm. Well, interesting. We just had a big report that inventories, there was a major drawdown, 5 million barrels. Mm-hmm. That's pretty big. Mm-hmm. And it seems to have not had much effect on
price. No, it really didn't, because in the first place, when the barrels were full, when all the tanks were out there full before the drawdown, mm-hmm. the companies that were drilling and producing the oil literally cut back on their production because there was no place to put it.
Right.
Now they've got a place to put it, so I think you're going to see the production move back up, and when the production moves up, obviously the prices go up again. It's just, it's like I say, it's a rubber ball. It just keeps bouncing back, and it's back and forth. And it's interesting to watch. It doesn't really affect our economy here in the United States that much. We had one big factory, one big refinery on the East Coast.
I was
going to
ask.
Looks like
about
it's closing
that.
Down for good.
Permanently.
Permanently. And that's a big factor because they, although they were 335,000 barrels a day, they were not one of the large refineries, but they were supplying oil and gas on the East Coast. So it's not going to affect the country as at large, just those people on the East Coast, but they're not going to even see that much of an increase in gasoline, maybe 5 cents a gallon. The other refineries will pick up the pressure and they'll start producing more. So that's not going to be a long haul thing. It'll happen over a short period of time. And I think that refinery's production will be replaced within 6 months or less, maybe 3 months down the road. So you're going to see other refineries picking up the difference. We got the petroleum in the warehouses, if you will, in the tanks, and all they got to do is refine it. So now they've got a place to put it. So you're going to see a drawdown on the tank supply and on the supplies that are out there. And then you'll see the companies start drilling more, producing more to fill the tanks back up. So it's just a base of supply and demand. That's what it amounts to.
Yeah, well, one thing that hasn't been talked about lately, Trump is trying to do something about it, is the boutiqueification of different blends of gas for different states, different parts of the country. And, you know, that was the largest refinery on the East Coast of the United States. So it's going to have some effect for the East Coast. Maybe it's going to lead to a getting rid of these individual standards for different states, which is really not good for the market and not good for prices for consumers. It's really a bad thing.
I totally agree. Some of the regulations that we've had in place by the Energy Department are being relaxed right now, and that's going to make a difference in the consumer price. And that's really what we're trying to reach and trying to make something that's good for everybody all the way across the country. Those of us here in West Texas, it's funny because here in Midland, Texas, which is right in the middle of the Permian Basin, which by the way now produces more than Saudi Arabia on a daily basis, we're the number one oil producer in the world right now in West Texas. But we pay higher price on our gasoline in the middle than anybody else in the state of Texas. We produce it and then we ship it out.
You know why that is.
Pay more for it when it comes back.
Because you're the furthest away from the refineries. You know,
that's
people,
true.
People don't understand that there are what they call it zone pricing. And it just so happens I'm in Palm Beach County and we pay like the highest price for gasoline, Northern Palm Beach County, of any county in Southern Florida, way more than Miami, Dade, more than Broward, and then in any place in the county, we're the highest because we're in the bad zone. We're in the most northern zone away from, and there's no refineries in Florida, but where it comes in, I guess the ships, the ports, or the pipeline, whatever it is, we're the furthest away, and we get screwed. And it seems like wherever I live is the highest price of gasoline in that area. Any place I
that's
move to.
That's the problem. That's the problem. You guys are not close to a refinery, and you're being supplied by tankers and or trucks.
Yeah,
there's
barges.
No pipelines coming over there. So anytime you have that, the cost of delivery goes up. And when the cost of delivery goes up, and of course, it's also based on what the consumer can and what the guys that own the gasoline stations can get you guys to pay. Mm-hmm. You know, we have offices in Fort Lauderdale, so I'm out there quite often. I get to see your gasoline prices as well. And I see what's going on in Florida, being very familiar with Florida, having been with the Advisors Academy now for 8 years. I'm surprised, but then again, not. Because I know that you guys have the same problem we have here in Midland. We don't have any pipelines out of Midland, even. Believe it or not, we live in the largest producing area, and yet we've got two pipelines going to
one
refinery in Houston.
Right,
so
they go one
that's
way.
That's where our prices come in.
They don't come back. They just go out because you're a relatively small submarket of the entire state, which is dominated by the urban areas, and you're just producers. You're not the consumers like the rest of the state. You know, you produce way more than you consume. So therefore, of course, you're just not going to get it. Well, one of the things the Trump administration has done is really gone all out to get these pipelines built. Some of them have been more successful than others. But my guess is if Trump is reelected, we'll see a dramatic upgrading of our pipeline capacity throughout the country.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next.
Financial Survival Network is brought to you today by Orin Resources, a junior exploration company with the appetite of a major. It's hot on the trail of the next globally significant discovery, creating enormous potential upside for you, the shareholder. Orin is one of the most aggressive exploration companies pursuing high-grade, scalable gold and copper deposits, and has a premier 7-project portfolio, including its 2 flagships, Committee Bay in the Arctic and Sombrero in Peru. Orin's unparalleled technical team and highly experienced management has a history of success in advancing and monetizing exploration assets. No wonder Orin's been called one of the best in the junior exploration sector. Orin trades on the TSX and the NYSE under AUG. To learn more, go to orinresources.com. That's A-U-R-Y-N resources.com.
The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
We've got 2 new pipelines that are coming out of Midland by the West Texas area that are going to be enforced by this time next year. 2 large 30s. When you talk about pipelines, people don't realize how large those things are. Those are 36-inch pipelines. We're talking about a huge pipeline. And we're going to have, we have one that's been coming from the Gulf Coast up this way, pumping natural gas. And we're going to reverse it, and so we can get our natural gas and our gas, our oil production back down there. That's going to cause the price of oil to go down, and it's our, and it's going to cause the consumer's price to go down. So we're going to see this thing kind of bottom out. I don't remember, Kerry, if it was you and I talking about this a year ago, but someone asked me about a year ago on one of the talk radio programs that I was on right after my book came out, and we were talking about what the futures would demand. And this is all based on consumption. It's all based, it's the greatest capitalism in the world is based in the oil industry. Whatever the supply is and whatever the demand is the price. And by the way, a price of oil is demanded, is really set by whatever the last purchase was made per right. barrel. If it's made at $56 a barrel, that'll set the price until somebody comes along and says, wait a minute, I need it more than they do. I'm willing to pay 57 or 58. And that sets it for the next guy that comes along. So it's kind of set based on the delivery and how much you're willing to pay. It's a mm-hmm. supply and demand issue, pure and simple.
Yeah, well, and people think of oil as one market, but it's really 2 markets here. The production, the crude market, and then the distillate market.
Absolutely. Yeah. And people forget about the distillate market.
Oftentimes the two have moved in different directions altogether, like recently with the closure of the refinery, the Philadelphia refinery, which we should also mention, mm-hmm. one of the oldest refineries in the country, goes back to the 1880s. Was. And, you know, we'll see if the government lets them close it. They might deem that it really is an essential factory, if you will. And under the law, they have a right to take over that place if the private owners can't keep it running, if they determine it's an essential production facility. So,
you know, I think one of the problems they had in the East Coast refinery there in Philadelphia area is that it was old, and there was a lot of failure that was going right. on inside the refinery itself. They've had a history over the last year or two of having difficulties with fires and that sort of thing.
Right.
Keeping that type of program up, keeping a refinery up, is a highly expensive matter, and people don't realize that it takes a lot of maintenance to keep those things going. There's a tremendous amount of science going on in a refinery.
Oh, God,
when you bring in a barrel of crude oil, there's a number of different things that it can go to, and depending on the refinery and what they're producing, it can be even more expensive. And the regulations and the requirements to set up a refinery are so steep and so difficult that it's very difficult to get one started.
Can't
and
do
extremely
it.
High expensive.
Can't do it. And there's no place on the East Coast where they're going to welcome it with open arms. That's for certain. And because that's an old one, underinvested, they were in bankruptcy. This is like, they're using it, hey, let's get the heck out of here. We'll take the insurance money and run. And really the energy department's going to have to make that decision. But it's interesting because, you know, the birth of refinery industry, East Coast, you know, Newark, New Jersey, Elizabeth, New Jersey, Bayway Refinery, all mm-hmm. of that goes back, way back. Now half the refineries in New Jersey aren't operating any longer because they're too small, 80,000-100,000 barrel a day refineries,
right.
Not efficient, money losers. You know, many people don't even know that, you know, what do you have, 42 gallons in a barrel? When they actually refine it, they wind up with more than they started with because of the refining process that splits up the different distillates and such.
That's very true. And people don't, if they go back and study what is actually produced. I had someone ask me once why, if people hated how we felt in West Texas about the people that hated the dirty old nasty oil companies. And my response may have been with you, Kerry, that we really don't care because we realize that the world really runs on the petroleum industry. There's over 6,000 products that are mm-hmm. petroleum distillates, if you will, that we use every day. You and I are talking on a telephone. The telephone is made of plastic. Plastic is a petroleum distillate. Mm-hmm. If you buttoned your shirt this morning, you probably use plastic buttons. That's a petroleum distillate. If you got a water bottle on your desk, it comes from natural gas. Mm-hmm. People don't realize that, and when they realize that 40% of the petroleum that's produced actually goes into these other products. 60% right. goes to oil, gas, and the distillates there, but 40% of it goes into things that we use every day.
Absolutely.
And are driving in our cars. The rubber on our wheels, the asphalt in our streets, that's all petroleum.
Everything.
So the people on the East Coast, I understand their problem. I hope that Rick Perry, who is an energy czar, if you will, he's the head of the energy department. Of course, Rick's from Texas. He understands the petroleum industry. And I think that's going to make some differences, too.
Yeah, he's been, by all accounts, a pretty fair energy secretary. And and also, like, when seasons change, like once winter starts ending, then the mix changes where more mm-hmm. gasoline's produced, less diesel, less kerosene and such. Mm-hmm. Hey, you know, the idea of like taking a train here to Hawaii, you know, so that we don't use, you know,
I don't
so
think
we
we're
can
gonna
be
do
more
that
green.
Exactly.
Yeah, maybe a submarine. I don't know. It's
I'm not sure.
What are these people
smoking? We
got
smoking? Some crazy people out there trying to do it.
Oh my God. It's just stupid here, right? I mean, D, we can't live without this stuff. Until you find something that's going to work better, you really have no choice other than to go reverse progress, stop producing electricity, which doesn't even use oil anymore for the most part. It's natural gas and coal and nuclear and some hydro thrown in there. But, you know, just the unrealism of the green left, pretty amazing. Hey, so it's been a year. It's your 1 year anniversary for your book, and you got a new edition coming out, huh?
It came out July the 17th. Thank you for asking, Kerry. The book, It's Now or Never, or How to Enjoy Your Life and Not Let Your Investments Own You, actually hit the marketplace on Amazon.com and Simon & Schuster and Barnes & Noble a year ago, July the 17th, 1 year ago. And we ran out of books, so we're going to have to print some more. We've had people that there's a demand for the book. It's done quite well, and we're very proud of that. It's the book is more of a history of my life, but it actually dovetailed into that with all of the advice of financial advisor with over 45 years of experience in the industry. So it's done exceptionally well, and we appreciate the people that have bought the book and are still asking for the book and going through the website and checking it out. So thank you for ringing it up. We're very proud of the book. We feel like, in fact, I've already started writing a second book, and I hope it will have, it'll take a year to get it out. But you don't write a book overnight, as you're probably aware.
I'm aware of that.
It takes
a
while. Yeah.
Yes.
It's a long process.
I love it. Well, hey, done a great job. A real service. Anyway, people want to find out about you, how to get the book. Tell us how we go about doing that.
They can go to D. Carter Financial at fixedincomecouncil.com. It's a long deal, but it's D. Carter Financial at fixedincomecouncil.com. They can contact us at directly if they want to. And here in Midland, Texas, we still have a few of our supply left, and we'll be glad to get them out to it. But you can go to Amazon.com. We should be able to get, I think we've got some more at Amazon already. They can go to Amazon.com and pick up It's Now or Never, or How to Enjoy Your Life and Not Let Your Investments Own You. I believe strongly, Kerry, that we got one go-round, and we need to plan for what we do, but we also need to enjoy the fruits of our labor. And I want my clients, wherever they may be, to plan for their retirement and be able to enjoy their retirement for as long as they live and have fun doing what they do and enjoy then passing it on to their heirs and the people that are around them, you know, doing good for everybody they come in contact with.
Hey, and that's a great thing. And everybody can profit from this book. Hey, questions, comments for D, myself, and to enter the contest, KL@CarrieLutz.com. And the Twitter feed's @CarrieLutz, Facebook page, Financial Survival Network. Remember, get your entries in no later than 11:59 p.m. of July 14th. D, it's always a pleasure having you on. We'll talk to you again real soon.
I appreciate it, Carrie. Look forward to talking to you soon.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.